Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Welcome to the 10 Adventures podcast. This week, we're going to continue on from last week and talk about what the rest of the 10 Adventures team is dreaming about for their bucket list trip for 2022 or 2023 or whenever they get back to traveling after the pandemic. With me is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm doing good. And with us, like last time, we've got Sarah, Kelsey, Minz, Alex, Adam, Nadine, and Mallory. So we've got about half the team here sharing their favorite trips. And we're just going to go right in it. And we're going to talk about bucket list trips. And Alex, you went last in our last podcast. So let's put you on the hot seat and let's hear about what trip you're dreaming of doing either in 2022 or beyond.
My trip I'm looking forward to is something that's kind of been on the back burner for a long time. It's something that I've really always wanted to do, and I've never had the right circumstances kind of crop up for it, but I've always wanted to do a long trip through Turkey. And I've always had this, I don't know, like weird fascination with Turkey, just culturally and historically. And my background academically is in classical studies. So it kind of deals with ancient Roman and Greek history. And that's that entire region of the world. And I've been to Italy and I've been to Greece, but Turkey's the one place that's kind of eluded me so far. So that's something that I would love to do coming up if, you know, everything kind of permits and falls into place.
That sounds like an epic place to go. And there's just so much to see, and not just all the history, because there's so much ancient history to see there, but beaches and mountains. And do you have ideas of how you would do it?
I mean, logistically, not really. It's something I've always kind of wanted to do for myself, and I've been trying to goad my wife into actually coming along on the trip. So far, it's been elusive. But in terms of like a kind of a rough sort of itinerary, like I've always wanted to, you know, start in Istanbul. Like it's kind of this fascinating city where it really is like an East meets West kind of cultural thing where it just kind of mixes together in such a beautiful way. But then, you know, kind of from there, go towards the Southwest. And like I said, I'm a big history guy, so visit Gallipoli and see the World War I sites, and visit Hisarlik, which is this site where they, you know, think Troy, the ancient city of Troy, is, and then move down along the Ionian coast, and then from there kind of explore the Turkish Riviera, you know, kind of walk along through there towards the Taurus Mountains, and then head inland towards Cappadocia. One of the things I've always wanted to do, especially it's kind of the like classic Turkey travel thing, is do the hot air balloons in Cappadocia, where you go above the colored you know, cliffs and all that kind of stuff. That's something I've always wanted to do as well. And then from there, just kind of move up to the Black Sea, and then kind of come back to Istanbul in like a nice little round trip sort of way. I've always thought would be kind of nice. Again, I don't know logistically what all goes into that, but it's sort of what where my mind's taking me so far.
That sounds epic. And I'm looking forward to seeing that photo of you in the hot air balloon in Cappadocia, you know, floating over all the cliffs. And that'll be a great trip.
I've always been interested in Turkey as well. Not a bit for the history, but just like combining the mountains and the food, and then having like any trip where you can go trekking and then end at the sea, I think is always great, because you get tuckered out and then, oh, you're going to go sit on a beach in the heat and enjoy like a super relaxed lifestyle. I've always felt that's a great mixture. Is that something you'd think of doing as well, Alex? Is like, you know, do some hard travel and then do like some just total beach, do nothing but eat and drink and enjoy.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of one of the things that we did when we went to Greece. There was a lot of that, you know, you'd go out hiking or exploring for the day, and then, you know, you always have the beach kind of waiting for you when you get back. And I think that's one part of why I'd want to do Turkey as well, because it is a nice mixture of, yeah, the historical stuff, the adventure stuff, but then also kind of the leisure relaxation part as well. It very much is kind of like, I don't want to say like the last bastion of cheap vacations in the Mediterranean, but it kind of almost is. You get the same thing that you would get with an Italy or a Greece, but it is still quite a lot cheaper to go to Turkey as of right now anyway. So it's definitely something I'd be interested in for sure.
Yeah, and there's the Lycian Way, that long point-to-point hike along the coast in Turkey as well. I did a week on that a few years ago, and that was pretty epic. You get to hike and you get the beach, so two in one.
It's definitely on the list. Yeah.
Sounds good. How about you, Sarah? What have you got planned or in your mind for the future?
So this is definitely an interesting question for me. I usually consider myself to be quite kind of like out there and not really worried about things and, oh, everything will be fine. But I actually was stuck in Europe when everything started to shut down. So in March 2020, I was hosting a retreat in Portugal, and my husband was coming to meet me, and we were going to do our Greece trip, and I had planned our dream trip and done all the itinerary and everything. And while he was flying over and I was heading to meet him, that's when everything shut down. And that's when our government was like, come home or you won't get home, and figure it out. And actually Kelsey and her partner were stuck there too. So we all got stuck in London together, which was really interesting. And I learned a lot, and I learned that just because you think things are going to turn out the way they do, you think they will, they won't. So yeah, I would love to redo Greece and basically pull up that itinerary that I had spent hours planning and redo it.
So was it mostly heading to Greece? Was that mostly what you had planned to do there?
Yeah, I had already done my retreat in Portugal, and we were just wrapping up that. And I was going to meet my husband in Barcelona, and he basically got there. I couldn't get in, and that was when it was like no go. So we just got to London as quickly as we could, but it was going to just be basically all Greece.
And what were the highlights in your trip that you had planned that is yet to happen?
Definitely Santorini. I was really excited for that. And I had a couple little smaller islands. One of them, I actually can't remember the name right now, but it had a beautiful black beach. And I was just really excited for, yeah, all of the beaches and mainly just the Greek food. But
can't go wrong with that. But I think the pandemic probably taught all of us that, what you mentioned, that you kind of got to keep fluid these days, and you can make plans and they might change, but still might be pretty fun too.
Okay, let's go next and go on to Nadine. So Nadine, what's your bucket list trip?
Yeah, my next bucket list trip that I have my eye set on is one that I'm going to do with my partner. We are planning to do a 2-week Norwegian road trip. So we're going to fly into Oslo and spend a couple of days there. And then we're going to head west out to the coast to Bergen, and then continue by car heading north through the fjords to Ålesund and enjoy the adventures along the way. So we have a couple of hikes that we've been looking at, lots of really cool little towns in between those major ones that I mentioned that we'd like to stop at. And then, of course, we'd love to set out on the water as well and kind of do a day cruise or maybe a longer one, depending on the plan on the fjords there.
And so I met a guy in my hiking club, but he did something similar, and he was motorbiking up kind of the Norwegian coast. He was just camping everywhere. Are you guys planning to go camping, or are you guys going to stay in hotels?
You know what? I would love to camp. If it was strictly a solo trip, I think I'd be camping all the way. But my partner, unfortunately, is not a big camper. Now that you mention that, though, I could perhaps convince him on the basis that you know someone that had a great time camping on the coast. You know, we might do a bit mix of both, maybe.
I've also heard that camping's free there, too. So maybe you can talk your partner into it that way. Yeah.
That is a very convincing point, Karen. Yeah, I would love to do at least a couple of nights of camping along the way. I definitely don't think it'll be a straight 2-week camping kind of trip, but it'd be really cool to just be out there and sleep in nature as well as exploring it during the day.
And so why Norway, Nadine?
Yeah, it was a trip that my partner has like a Google Docs of like all of these itineraries that he plans out on Google Maps and wants to do. And when we first started dating, you know, one of the things he would do was read me the itineraries and say, you know, which one would you want to do? And that one was one of the ones that really popped out to me. And so since then, we've kind of set our sights on that and said we are going to do it together.
I was in Norway, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, and actually my wife still talks about wanting to go back and go to Norway. So I think it's a great choice because it is just this really, especially the coastal areas, it's just so special with these enormous fjords and these cool little towns. And it's just a really kind of special, it's like kind of like the west coast of BC, only there's towns and a lot more people. It's kind of easier to access, but it's just so beautiful.
Yeah, and really different. It's something really different, something that I probably wouldn't have considered doing until I had heard his itinerary plans. And it was kind of like, yeah, that sounds like something really outside of the box. So looking forward to it.
We need a whole podcast on his itinerary plans so that and then we can all like go through them all and then decide which ones we all want to do. Because yes. If someone's already done the work for you, wow, that like takes a lot of the pressure off.
Exactly. Yeah, it really does. And I appreciate that quality in him because I'm less of a planner and more kind of just like go with the flow and very sort of impulsive, whereas he's very much detailed and likes to have everything planned out. So we're kind of a perfect match in that way.
As long as you're well matched, that's what makes it great. How about you, Mins? Do you have an epic trip planned or in your mind?
Nothing planned yet, but we, my wife and I have been talking about one trip that we'd love to do at some point in the future. I don't think that's going to happen in 2022, but we definitely want to do it. And I might be boring if anyone's listening who listened to the last episode of this podcast last week, because we want to do another road trip, but this time to actually combine Canada and the US. It might sound stupid, but actually the road trip in the US, when we were doing it, we didn't go to Canada only because we just assumed that you cannot go with a rented car across the border. And only afterwards someone said, why didn't you go to Canada? It was like, were we able to? And they were like, yeah. So that was the only reason we didn't go. And now we are thinking to redo some of the places that we loved and then visit some of the places that we were not able to because of the seasons. Because when we were traveling in the US, we were kind of always catching up with the season and the campgrounds were literally closing down on us. When we get there after a couple of days, the campground would close eventually. And the more north we were going, like Oregon, we haven't really seen too many things there. And there are so many parks that we really want to revisit. So there's a lot of stuff we want to do. And so far we're thinking, which I don't think it's very easy to plan, but it would be probably Alberta down to Glacier National Park again. That's 2 years in a row we were not able to visit it. So we definitely want to do that. And then down to Yellowstone National Park simply to see wolves in the wilderness, because I think that's the main area to do that. If it's possible to somehow combine Mount Rainier National Park, I really want to see Mount Helen and see what it looks like after the Big Bang. And then up to BC near the Pacific, most likely see some whales, and still not sure how, but really want to go to Yukon or the Yukon. I believe they've just changed it. So really want to see Yukon and then probably travel back to Alberta from there.
I want to do almost the exact same trip, Mins. It's like, I was even thinking next summer, maybe we just go down to Yellowstone. And actually I was talking with my wife. I'm like, should we just plan going to the Yukon or Yukon? Again, I don't know if it's the Yukon or Yukon now, but like, should we just go next summer and like get some airfares booked and fly into Whitehorse and rent a car? Because it's just this incredible, just an incredible kind of wilderness of both of them, with lots of, you know, wildlife and just kind of places that are hard to get to and beautiful. So I totally get why you plan those, Mins.
Definitely. And I think that the biggest change in the trip, the next trip, the road trip that we would do is actually focus more on experience rather than being in the place, because as I mentioned, we were kind of running after the seasons and just doing what was available, and we've missed on seeing some wildlife. And then usually after we would go somewhere else, we'd learn that there were some, let's say, wildlife watching tours or some other experiences we could have done. So I think this time we would not focus as much on, you know, the budget side of things. We'd probably want to do fewer activities in one place, but some that we'll remember for the rest of our lives, I would imagine.
Yeah, some places you can just go back to again and again, and they look different in different seasons, or you're seeing things differently than how you saw them before. But such a huge area, you know, that part of the US and Canada, you probably could spend a few years doing a road trip there.
Well, hopefully a few months, but years would be cool as well, I imagine.
How about you, Mallory? Do you have big plans coming up in your mind?
Absolutely. I think after coming up on 2 years now, almost, of not really being able to travel much at all, and having had trips canceled during that time, it's like, oh, I have to pick one to talk about. But I think the short list includes Patagonia and New Zealand, which I've heard amazing things about, French Polynesia. Like, fling me into a remote island in the middle of the ocean and just, like, let me get pruny scuba diving and I'm probably a pretty happy soul. I want to go to Italy, Iceland in a camper van. But I think of all the places I've been thinking about, number one, I want to go back to Africa and I want to go to East Africa. But that's also probably the trip I'll need to be most patient for when it comes to post-pandemic travel, I think.
Now, Mallory, I was expecting that you would, because you always talk about the horseback riding trips, and there's one trip where you cross the Andes, and I think there's some other ones down in Patagonia. I was expecting that. Did that almost make the list, or I thought for sure it'd be like some epic horseback riding trip?
Yes. So I do ride horses, and I love to ride. So when I say Patagonia, that would be my preferred method. And this is what last podcast I talked about, the FOMO I get writing adventure travel itineraries. I wrote one that was a horsebacking tour across Argentinian Patagonia, which seemed incredible. But then on Instagram, I also saw this video of people exploring, I don't know exactly where they were in Africa, but they were on horseback and there were like elephants crossing in front of them. So that's been in the back of my brain since I saw it. I'm a really big wildlife person in general, but definitely like wherever I go, I'm like, is there a horse that I can ride? Because you can just see so much more and it's just such a special way to explore. So Patagonia, that's definitely an aspect I want to include in that trip. And if I could somehow work it into my adventures in Africa, that would be amazing. But definitely East Africa has just been on my bucket list for such a long time. And I don't know exactly when I'll get to it. But yeah, it's hard to pick, right? Like there's certain trips where you think about them and think about them. And it's like, oh, do I go to Patagonia first? Do I go to Africa first? So hopefully once travel is a little bit more possible, I can just save up a bunch of money and go do it all at once.
Now, we heard in our last podcast from Kelsey, who spent a year in Kenya, Tanzania, and Malawi. Nadine went from Vic Falls down to Cape Town and it took her 3 months. Have you even started thinking of what countries you want to go to or where you want to go? Or is it just get to East Africa, then figure it out from there?
No, I've definitely thought about it. I've been to South Africa before, but like I said, I'm just a huge wildlife person. I've always been a really big animal person. So I'd love to go to Kenya, go to the Maasai Mara, Tanzania for Serengeti National Park. And also I've heard amazing things about the coral islands and the coastline of Mozambique. But then also my brother and I have talked about maybe climbing Kilimanjaro someday together. So could I do it all in one trip? Maybe not. It would be a long trip. If I could spend several months. And I did kind of go on a safari in South Africa, but it was a little bit different. It was a smaller reserve. I'm not the first person to want to go on a safari in Africa, and I won't be the last. But I'm also conscious of the fact, when I think about this trip in the future, I always think of Dark Star Safari by Paul Thoreau. It's his account of a great book. So he talks about his overland trip from Cairo to Cape Town. And he does reflect a lot about the idea of the Westerner coming to visit Africa. And, you know, you go to your luxury safari lodge and you wave at some elephants and you leave. And he just really observed these people not actually visiting Africa. So I think going back, I just want to make sure that I'm not, you know, dropping in, saying hi to some elephants and leaving. I'd love to learn more about the culture. And also just being conscious of kind of being a voyeur in a country where people have different challenges in their daily life than I do. So I think when it comes time to plan that trip, it's going to be really important, like which operator I book with, because I don't think I would self-plan it, just to make sure that I'm really immersing myself in the place in a way that isn't sort of inauthentic to everything that's there to experience. So that's going to be a trip that takes some planning to do, right? Because I don't just want to go on safari. I definitely want to discover some of those amazing things that I've heard about from other people.
You know, it's funny you were talking about your loving to be with animals, but, you know, wanting to have more intimacy, because I met a woman at a backcountry ski lodge in BC a few years ago who went to one of those parks and was volunteering to count animals. I forget which country it was. And pretty much she's just put in the park, given an area to cover by herself. And she was supposed to just walk around and count how many animals of different types she would see. So, I mean, you need to find something like that. That sounds pretty authentic.
I would happily sit there and count animals for days on end.
I didn't know that that job existed. That does sound like a pretty good...
Well, it's volunteered. It's not paid.
Oh, typical. Kelsey, you know, all this talk of Mallory's trip probably bring back some more memories, but what's your bucket list trip that you're thinking about post-pandemic?
Oh, man. This has been a hot topic lately. So it all depends on where I end up going, maybe for future work. Right now, I'm in an education program at school, and I graduate in April. And then we also got a puppy in the pandemic, so that maybe has changed some travel plans in the near future. So right now we're thinking maybe one option is to road trip through the States and then go work at a school in Mexico. There's an Alberta school there, so I'll potentially apply there. So that's an option, and then stay there for a bit and just explore around Mexico as much as we can. And then another option is to go to maybe Peru in the summer and then come back and then look into going up north to Yukon or Northwest Territories. And then another option, so many. See, these are more options rather than bucket list trips, but they're still pretty bucket list. Would maybe be to road trip through Yukon, Northwest Territories in the summer and then fly over to Europe and find something there. And then explore as much as we can there. So a lot of things we're thinking about, so we'll see.
What I think is cool is just so everyone realizes, Kelsey works part-time at 10 Ventures while she's taking her education degree, and the idea is when you graduate, go and combine travel with where you live and get a different experience. And you know, this idea of slow travel and experiencing something different when you're living in the place, as opposed to even if you go there for a month, you know, it's different than if you're actually living there and getting to know people and making friends. I'm really intrigued by Mexico, because I think it's such an incredible country, but you know, there's always this fear of, there's a lot of violence there now. And I know lots of people, when they go down there, like they, you know, years ago, a friend went down there and like day three is his truck with like, he was like camping out of his truck. It got stolen. And he's like, oh, my 6 month trip is over at day three. But where would you think about going to live there?
So there's a place in Mazatlan. So I think it's either 60 hours from Canada or 37. I don't know why I have those numbers in my head. Quite different. But yeah, so it's close-ish to the American border. Like, I think we could drive across the American border and then get there within the day. It'll be a long day. But so that would be the goal, is to just go straight to Mazatlan. If that happens, I haven't applied. Hopefully they aren't listening to this.
Is that where you would teach?
Yeah, potentially. But I haven't applied yet, so... It's all a dream right now.
Mazatlan's famous for like lots of expats are moving there, Mazatlan and Puerto Vallarta. And it is kind of this up and coming place where they have great food and you're on the ocean and it's not as hot as Cancun, but it's like a really nice temperature year round. So that would be a pretty cool place to live, I think.
Yeah, I was talking to someone who lived there for a bit and she was telling me all about it, saying it's like a very cool vibe. Very dog friendly, which is good for us. But yeah, so that would be awesome. But then lately, my partner has all of a sudden been like, you know what? I really like Edmonton. So
there's an incredible mall there. Like, honestly, that's like a holiday in itself. You can go there again and again.
I might try and get him focused more on some of the other locations.
And he loves traveling, so it's like out of nowhere, like, oh, Edmonton. And he's a huge Flames fan, I'm a huge Oilers fan. It's like, why would you want to go there?
You know, I never considered that one of the possible outcomes of the bucket list trip was Edmonton, Alberta. I'm sure it's a nice place, but that wasn't on, you know, what are the possibilities? Edmonton didn't make the long list.
So weird.
Adam, you're bringing it home. What's the bucket list trip for you?
Well, you know, I was thinking of saying a trip through the islands of Greece or something like that. But that was that is pure speculation. It is entirely pie in the sky. So instead, I decided to talk about a trip that is almost certainly going to happen next summer, just sort of depending on the COVID situation. But I'd like to drive up to, so I'm in BC, I'm on the west coast of BC, something you sort of realize at a certain point in your life, if you've lived in BC, is that the place is huge. It is a massive province. And you can live your whole life and only ever see like the southern, like 200 kilometers from the border sort of thing really easily. So I've never been to Prince George, and I've never been kind of anywhere beyond that. And so I'd like to drive through northern BC and into the Yukon. I would like to look around the Yukon. In particular, I've got a destination in mind. There's this very, very unique little ecosystem. It's like the smallest desert in North America or something like that. It's called Carcross Desert. But there's also, there's like sort of in across northern BC and in the Yukon, there are these huge parks, absolutely massive parks, that offer a lot of different hiking and sort of like adventure opportunities. So I'm going to look at what I can sort of tack onto the list, look at a few of these parks, see what's available that I could do along the way. If I decide to get my passport, I might go over the border and go see what Alaska looks like. Because, you know, hey, it's right there. Why not, right?
Exactly. It's true what you say about British Columbia being so big and also so varied. And I think probably you're right that the north of BC is very undervisited for all it has to offer. And you could probably spend your whole summer exploring up there and into the Yukon. Probably spend a few years doing that.
I've been watching a YouTuber, Mikey Friedland, I think his name is. He's cycling from Vancouver to Tuktoyaktuk in Northwest Territories. And actually, the last two episodes were kind of going through northern BC and into the Yukon. And it was just stunning scenery. And I actually went in Google Maps and it's like, there's the road. And then there's just mountains and forests in all directions. And there's nothing else. Like, it's kind of crazy just how much terrain there is where there's nothing. And the towns have, you know, three streets. And they also have like an A&W or a Harvey's or something. But it's just this enormous place. And actually, I had the same thing as you had. I'm like, I want to get up there. How do I get my car? Oh, it's 26 hours to Stewart. Okay, that's maybe a bit long of a drive for me. But if you're going to spend 2 weeks of doing it, that sounds like an epic trip.
Yeah, that's the plan. Originally, I have a friend from Whitehorse, and he now lives in a much saner place called Toronto. But he grew up in Whitehorse, and I was saying I'd like to go in the winter. You know, I'd like to see what like a real winter snow looks like, because I know, Richard, I know where you are, there's actual snow, but in Victoria, it's probably 1 or 2 days a year and like, you know, 6 or 7 inches, nothing special. You know, I'd like to go up there in winter and experience like a real snow. And he looked at me and he said, "You're from the South, you'll die." He wasn't trying to be mean, but just that, you know, if you don't understand the complexities of living with snow that covers your roof sometimes, you know, you might just accidentally die. So it turned into a summer trip, which apparently means if I'd like to see the Northern Lights, which I would, you have to stay up quite late, but a sacrifice I'm willing to make.
It's funny you mention the unique prerogative of living in the south on the west coast of British Columbia, because I'm from Victoria as well. And my daughter just moved to Prince George a couple years ago. And it was a bit of a shock to her system. I remember I said, "So are you going to buy winter boots?" And she was like, "No, I'm going to be fine." And she ended up buying winter boots.
So Karen, what's your bucket list trip?
Well, I have two things. I'm really hoping to get to Central Asia this summer with my daughter. She's dying to go and she's planning it all out. And it would involve visiting all the big highlights in Uzbekistan, followed by some trekking through Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan. So that's kind of one I'm really hoping to do, and one that I've kind of had on the list. In fact, I had booked it, but had to cancel it after COVID started, was to go to South America. I really, really want to go to language school for a little while to get some language skills. Like I can, like, instead of Pig Latin, I speak Pig Spanish. You know, I can get by and get the point across, but I'd love to have a few more skills in that regard. And then what I'd like to do is, once I had those language school skills, use it to volunteer. There's an NGO that works providing medical care to people from Venezuela on the Colombia border. In my other life, I'm a doctor, so I'd love to, you know, get some language skills and then volunteer at that clinic.
Well, that sounds good. That'd be really rewarding to be able to actually, you know, help people and understand different cultures right at the same time.
Yeah, I volunteered in Guatemala a few years ago. And like I said, I have rudimentary Spanish skills. And it was just so fun to be able to, like, take a person's history. And I mean, I couldn't communicate well myself, but I could understand enough to understand what they were saying without a translator. And that's like a really, for me, that was super fun and rewarding.
That does sound cool.
How about you, Richard? What are you and those three boys going to do?
Oh, the three boys and my wife and I, we want to go to South America. I was thinking Galapagos, maybe. They really want to go to Machu Picchu and the Amazon. And you can do those kind of in a 2-week trip. I'd love to go down to Patagonia with them because I love Argentina, and that's a very easy trip. You know, it's very, very developed. So really any of those or any trip, I'm happy.
After listening to the last podcast and this podcast, it struck me that you wanted to go to most of the places we talked about.
Yeah, I want to go to literally every single thing everyone said, except for Kelsey's idea at Edmonton.
Not that you have anything against Edmonton.
Actually, you know what? I'll put that on the bucket list. I bet you the kids would love that. They have a Fantasyland hotel. I'll put Edmonton on the bucket list as well. I think we had originally planned this summer to go to Europe and do like a 7-day walking trip in the Loire, or, you know, and maybe do Hadrian's Wall in the UK. My wife's English, so see her family. That's kind of uncertain. So, you know, we're just kind of, you know, not plan too much, just roll with the punches and see what happens. And again, any trip we do, any trip is always fun. And just spending time as a family together is great. So I don't care very much where I go, just that I'm doing it with people that I care about and we have lots of laughs.
Hear, hear.
Thanks everyone for sharing trips. I just love hearing people talk about travel. If any of the listeners have an idea of a favorite trip they want to share, tag us on Instagram at 10adventures. Also, a really fun thing I like to do at Christmas and New Year's is to talk with family about trips. I find it's a great, you know, sometimes it's tough to talk to people because of, you know, politics or, you know, there's, you know, what do you talk about? You end up talking about TVs or golfing or something. I always find sharing dream trips is a great way to connect with loved ones. And if you haven't seen somebody in a long time, it's just a great, you know, start planning your next epic trip, start discussing it, because it's a great way to make great memories at the holidays. So everybody from the team, thanks for sharing your bucket list trips today. I definitely enjoyed hearing about them. And I hope everyone has a great 2022. Cheerio.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com? Where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.